Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 105 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Switch, Putting the K in Magic, and Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com or back on the description page for this episode. Back at Blog Talk Radio, and I'm a little keyed up because I got a little carried away thinking about what I was going to talk about today, and I didn't really take notes. I just started, like, going, because I've taken a lot of notes on today's subject. I have an entire notebook devoted to the heart center. It's a little red leather notebook I have called My Book of Intent, because I got really hot on this idea of the heart center being a point of creation and manifestation, and I got so jacked up going through this journal and pulling out some other books from my library that I forgot to take notes today, but I was taking pictures of my journal, and I actually just posted one on Facebook, so you can actually look at a diagram of what I'm talking about. And yes, today's show is called The Magic of Water, but I mean that symbolically. And in magic, water is associated with the heart and with love and dreams and emotions and intuition. The Witch's Pyramid specifically, I personally associate water with the heart and the idea to dare. So I'm going to try to tie this all in. And yes, you can argue that water is related to the sacral chakra. This is all just metaphorical. It's all symbolism. I'm going to share with you what it means to me, and you can make up your own mind. This is the second show that I'm doing in a four-part series, kind of taking you through the Witch's Pyramid and the manifestation process from my point of view. This is how I do it. This is how I see it. It's not like a linear process. You have to do it in this order: air, water, fire, earth. That's just how I like to think about it. And because I'm an airy Libra and I'm all up in my head, I love logic, I love graphs, I love charts, and I love thinking about this kind of stuff. So I have excessively thought about this kind of stuff. But water, if you think about water being a symbol of emotions, for example, and intuition and heart, this is something that I made a Sunday School with Joe video. I keep wanting to do new ones of those, but back on my old channel, Major Arcana TV, I did a video for kids where I was talking about, just because I don't think kids are taught these things. We have Sunday School when we're growing up in church, and I just thought, oh, it'd be so fun to create Sunday School for New Agey kids, you know, kids with New Agey parents or witchy parents or magical parents. And so I had this idea to introduce kids to some of these concepts. And I was talking about love like an ocean. I sang this song, and I was explaining, and I'll repeat it here because I think it's valuable for kids and adults to understand that water, when it is left still, it stagnates. Water has to flow to remain healthy, and our emotions are like that, and the energy of the heart is like that. And I believe that the heart is a very creative center and point of attraction, that it has a really magnetic quality, and that it's important to keep that flowing. And I've had a lot of crazy synchronicities happening in my life lately, and they're just piling up on me left and right and left and right. And there's so much I want to share with you that I don't even know where to begin, really. But I was thinking a lot about fear. I posted on Facebook yesterday this little thing. Can I see, can I find what I posted? Let me see. I have my computer here. I was talking about fear and how old fears are coming up for me, fears that I didn't even realize I still have. What did I say here? I'm on Facebook. There was a quote, "You can never cross the ocean unless you have the courage to lose sight of the shore." I'm going to tie in this idea of courage, and I was just talking about the ocean here with love. But there's a quote that I put at the top of that that says, "The only real prison is fear, and the only real freedom is freedom from fear." And supposedly this whole Saturn retrograde period that we just entered into is about going back and finishing any unfinished business, things that have happened in the last 3 years, things that you need to face again or wrap up so that we can start fresh again this fall. If you believe in astrology, that's supposedly what's going on. Most things that I have read about this from some of my favorite astrologers have strongly resonated with my experience right now. And let me just read what I wrote, because I have no notes for today. This will help me get through the next 20 seconds. I wrote, "Have courage, my magical friends. Have courage. This Saturn retrograde has seriously been doing a number on me. All kinds of strange and fascinating synchronicities have been occurring, and something that has risen to the surface in a very dramatic way is fear. I am suddenly hyper aware of every fear I have been holding on to, and I'm afraid of far more than I realized. There are little pockets of fear, sneaky fear boogers tucked into the funniest hiding places here, there, and everywhere. And now, for whatever reason, the light is shining brightly on those little suckers. And they're like, hello, remember me? Surprise, I'm still here." And then I went on. I was just being silly, like, feel the fear and do it anyway. Surrender to what is and then make the most of it. Free your mind and the rest will follow, blah, blah, blah. Wild freedom, peace, love, and all that good shit. But one of the things that happened recently is I've been kind of daring myself to come out of the closet more and more as a witch, even here on the show. Like, the things that I talk about really only touch the surface of who I am behind closed doors and my private practice and what I truly believe. I tend to protect those things by keeping them to myself. And I know I've shared with you in the past that my family is intensely religious. Mennonite brethren, I have a big involved family. Everybody's up in each other's business. They all live in the same town. They all get together all the time, like once a week for breakfast they have, and then they have, you know, every holiday we're getting together, every birthday. Everybody's up in each other's business and extremely Christian, and I'm not, as I'm sure you know. So we have this kind of don't ask, don't tell policy around that. And I'm going to make a long story short here because this isn't what my show's about today. But I'm just going to tell you how fear has crept into my heart. It's rising to the surface in a lot of different ways, and I think this has to do with the heart center. I think we hold a lot of our fear in our hearts for fear when our hearts are broken, and to protect our hearts. And I noticed an uncle was like pressuring me kind of to tell him what I do in a nice way. He was being nice. And I was like, well, I don't really talk about it with you guys because I don't want to upset you. And he was like, just tell me, you know, kind of pressuring me. And my mom was standing right there, and it was making her really uncomfortable. She was sweating profusely and fanning herself, and like, she helps people with food. You know, I think she wants people to think that I only do Sad to Sexy, which I do, but Sad to Sexy is just one of the programs that I offer under the umbrella of Kick-Ass Witch. And witch is a very, very scary word. I am sure, and I totally understand why for my family. And I just said, well, I teach people psycho-spiritual techniques for creating the kick-ass life of their dreams, and I teach them about magic. And when I said that, one relative just kind of had like, whoa, like a full-body reaction and rolled his eyes and walked away. And the uncle who was asking me, he was being very nice. He's like, well, just give me the URL. If I'm upset by it, that's my problem. That's not your problem. That's my problem, and I'll deal with it. And he was right. I think that's true. And because he was not being mean to me and he was being very sweet, I told him how to find me on the internet. But then the whole ride home, I was very uncomfortable, like just so uncomfortable and thinking, Why does this bother me? I've been doing Kick-Ass Witch publicly for 3 years now. And I just thought that was interesting, you know, and I felt it in my heart. I felt like a literal pressure in my heart. So I just wanted to share that with you and let you know I'm on this path just like everybody else. And I have way more fears about things than I even realized, and they're all coming to the surface because I guess they want to be healed now. I said something to a friend of mine recently about, you know, our triggers, things that trigger us. We often use that word as like, it's a scary word, like that really triggered me. And we kind of walk on eggshells around other people now, like don't say anything that's going to trigger other people. But wouldn't it be interesting if we looked at triggers as guidance from spirit and the divine, and as something that's stepping forward to being healed in our life, something that we're ready for, even if it feels very, very intense, or maybe it just feels how I felt driving home, kind of uncomfortable. When something triggers you, I think it's interesting to see where it sits in your body and to sit with it for a minute and try to, instead of trying to like bypass that feeling and like, whoa, push it down or call your therapist or do whatever. Just, I mean, maybe you do need to call your therapist. I don't know. But to sit with it for a minute and be like, what is coming up for me right now? And why? And I do think that that has to do with water and the symbolism of the heart and the motion, because these things sometimes they become submerged, but they also have a way of bobbing to the surface at the most inconvenient times or when we're not ready for them, or they're like, surprise, here I am. So circling back around to what water symbolizes, the magic of water. And let me say, in this module for the spring equinox that we're working on right now, that you can totally hop on anytime between now and May 1st when we'll do the next module, I actually have a section in there about rewilding where you can work with each of the four elements that I'm talking about for these four episodes. I did it to where you can work with them in a literal, like hands-on, tangible sense. And so these four shows I'm doing are more symbolic. They're more about the magic of these four elements and how we use them to create and manifest things in our lives. And then the material in the spring equinox module is literal. And I think it's interesting to work with them both in a literal, practical, hands-on, mundane, everyday sense of the word, and also symbolically and metaphorically. I think the two kind of feed each other. So if you want to check that out, just go to www.psychospiritualwheeloftheyear.com or my website or my Facebook. You'll find it. It's not hidden at all. So the symbolism of water, it has to do with dreams. It has to do with intuition. It has to do with emotions. In tarot, the element is fittingly represented by cups. And the suit of cups typically represents emotion, love, compassion, intuition, dreams, receptivity. In the witch's pyramid, I did an early episode, if you didn't hear me talking about it last week or you didn't catch that early episode, I think it was my sixth episode of Hippie Witch, I actually break down my take on the witch's pyramid. But in the witch's pyramid, this element would be represented as to dare. So picture the witch's pyramid as a star. And at the tippy top, you have spirit. And then at the four other points of the star, you have air, water, fire, and earth. Air is to know. Water is to dare. Fire is to will. And earth is to be silent. So to know, to dare, to will, and to be silent. I actually see them as moving in that order when I'm doing spell work or when I try to consciously bring something into manifestation. So air is the point of manifestation. To know. Water is the point to dare, to step into your courage, to put some heart behind it, to put some emotion behind it. To will is the fire, the action of it. To bring it into manifestation, which then brings you to earth, to be silent, to allow that manifestation to occur. That's the way I see it. And again, this is symbolic. It's not literal. I busted out my copy of Silver Raven Wolf, Solitary Witch. I love this ginormous encyclopedia here, but she's actually the one that inspired my take of the Witch's Pyramid. She does things in the same order I do, although we have slightly different takes on some of the points. But she says, to dare, says that you have pushed fear behind you and that you will be courageous and proactive in all that you do. You will believe in yourself and have faith in the universe and in your own abilities. And then I have circled the word courageous and wrote from Latin, cor, or heart, next to that. Because if you don't know by now, I write in all of my books. It's like a conversation between me and the author that is ongoing. let me try to keep on one track here instead of ping-ponging all around, which actually I think is a good thing to bring up. You can ping-pong around to any point on the Witch's Pyramid or work with any elements. I believe that any point in the chakra system can be a point of creation and that you can begin at any point on the Witch's Pyramid. This is the way I'm representing it is very linear, but that's just one theory. That's just one way of looking at it and understanding it. It helps me understand the magical process. But ideally, you will use them all, if not in balance, then in harmony. I don't think each element has to be perfectly in balance. They work in harmony. So some spells or creations might require more intellectual, airy logic, and others might need more feist and fire, and still others might require an extra dose of love or emotion. So you just want to follow your intuition and do what works for you. Water, which we're talking about today, it's not always receptive, which is really interesting. When you get into tarot and you first learn it, you know, you learn about the four different suits. You learn about the swords, which is air. You learn about the suit of cups, which is water. You learn about the suit of wands is fire. You learn the suit of pentacles is earth. And you really get into the different suits. But then you start to get into the alchemy of tarot. And I think tarot is really about alchemy and magic. And it's about the alchemy of the cards when you pull certain cards together and you combine them. So when you combine certain cards, you might get water, which is cups, meeting fire, which is wands. So you get some cup cards and you get some wand cards, which in the very literal sense would be boiling water or a lightning storm. Fire meets water and a much more aggressive state. So water isn't necessarily always receptive, even though that's the first thing we think of, you know, when you just take water on its own. It can be more outwardly projecting when you, you know, mix it with fire. Or you could mix water with air if you get, let's say, some cups and some swords, and that might be more about mist and or fog, a more gentle, slow-moving kind of receptivity or emotion or intuition. You could mix it with earth, the pentacles, and get mud. And I also want to point out, I think that on first glance, to will and to dare being water, to will being fire. I think at first glance they might seem like they're similar, but I think they differ. To dare, in my opinion, is to move beyond fear, to have courage, to be brave, whereas to will seems more commanding, insistent, and confident to me. So I think of will as the point of action. So to dare brings us to the point of will. Having courage, you know, it's in your heart. You have heart. You have courage. And because you have courage and heart, it brings you to the point of being able to take action, to being able to flex your will, which is, again, why I have structured my take on the Witch's Pyramid in this particular way. You know, inspiration, you get the inspiration in your mind, and it turns you on emotionally, and it gives you that courage to dare, and then that takes you into action, and then obviously the action takes you into manifestation, and bing, 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 bing. The I love looking up the etymology of words. I know a lot of you do too, because it's interesting to see where we get these words from. And if you look up to dare, if you look up dare, the word dare, the word courage is definitely going to come up. And what's really exciting to me and interesting is that heart and courage, when you go way back in the etymology of these words, they're almost interchangeable. If you look up heart, the word courage is going to come up. If you look up courage, the word heart is going to come up. And I think that's so cool, to have heart, to have courage, to dare. The magic of water. Also, I'm going to go off on a little rant here. I see I don't have a lot of time, but I was recently listening to Rick Dobkins talk to Joe Rogan about why people fear psychedelics. And I know I talk about this frequently, but that's a whole other show. Maybe I'll do a show on psychedelics at some point. Not that I'm advocating doing psychedelics, but I do find them interesting. And we would not have magic, in my opinion, or probably most of the religions that we have. Definitely mysticism without some people, somewhere, sometime, using entheogenic plants to reach these altered states of consciousness. But it was interesting, they were talking about, why do people fear psychedelics so much? Why are they class A drugs, you know, lumped in with heroin and crack cocaine, which is a totally different thing from like MDMA and psilocybin? And why does our government outlaw these things and charge people with a felony for possessing them? And Rick Dobkins was saying he thinks it has just a lot to do with fear. And people fear, well, obviously the government fears what's going to happen if people, like, open themselves up that much. We're going to have, like, a rehash of what happened in the 60s. You know, when people open up their heart centers that way, when people start losing their social restraints and the way that they've been conditioned because they're opening their minds and they're opening their hearts to these new experiences, all hell can break loose for, like, the order that has been put into place. But he was also, what I thought was even more interesting than that, is how he was saying humans, we ourselves, we fear what's inside of us. We fear our own desires. And he even said himself, even though he's an expert on psychedelic experiences and all kinds of altered states of consciousness, and he's done all this deep work on himself, he's like, I still recognize that I have fear in my heart. And I fear the deepest desires of my heart. And I think that he really hit the nail on the head with that. I think we all fear the deep, deep, deepest desires of our heart and what will happen if we unleash that. Do you even know what the deepest desires of your heart are? I think a lot of us don't even know what the deepest desires of our heart. I think we hide those things from ourselves, which is why, you know, I thought it was interesting that these old fears that I didn't even know I was holding on to anymore have been rising to the surface lately. And what I mentioned about my family was just one of them. I feel like there's all these floating body, dead bodies, like, floating to the surface, like, hey, yo, remember me? Remember when I scared the crap out of you when you were 15? I'm still here, you know, just, it's crazy. And I also just briefly want to say about humans and plants, I think that there's a very special relationship there, and that any plant you consume, whether as your food or your food's food, will alter your chemistry. So you don't have to take psychedelic drugs to alter your chemistry with plants. You're doing it all of the time. And anything that you eat, even if it's a plant or if it's an animal who is eating a plant, it has the ability to alter your chemistry and your ability to perceive and even the thoughts you think. And Terrence McKenna said something once that I think is pretty hilarious and probably not at all true, but fun to think about nonetheless. And it was something to the effect that humans were invented by plants to help move plants around and spread their seed, which is a funny paradigm. But weeds fascinate me for this reason. They are some of the world's most hated plants, and we try to poison them and pull them and get rid of them, and they practically laugh in our faces and just keep, like, springing up every time we turn around, no matter how much Monsanto chemicals we wield. They just continue to spread and spread and spread like weeds. They are the real world dominators. And not only do weeds grow just about anywhere, like pushing through cracks in the most concrete of concrete jungles, they're also the first life to crop up after nuclear fallout. So you might say that plants have a lot of heart, which brings me back around to what does it mean when we say someone has a lot of heart? I think it means that they are willing to dare. I think it means that they are seriously determined and brave and that they have a lot of courage, which brings us back around to heart, this idea of to dare, this idea of water, courage, emotion, all that good stuff. When I first got into learning about the chakra system, I was actually confused by the correspondence between the color green and the heart chakra, because I was like, wouldn't the heart chakra be pink, red for blood, or pink? You know, we think of the hearts as being pink. And then I started thinking about heart-shaped leaves, and it started to make more sense to me that the heart chakra would be represented by the color green, because leaves really are the powerhouse of the plant kingdom, and their entire MO is to capture light and to alchemize light for energy. It's their fuel source, which you can probably go off on a million tangents about. Light and love, which gets a really bad rap in the witchy community. You'll hear people be like, I'm not one of those, like, light and love people. It's not all light and love. And it's true, we need the darkness too, and those things need to be in balance or in harmony, however you want to think of it. But I do think it's interesting to think about leaves and how their whole job is to capture light, and how they're heart shaped a lot of the times and what that might mean for us. I hear I have 90 seconds, but I also really want to mention money and love and how money is our primary energy exchange in the modern world. I think that money and love are the two areas that people struggle the most with and that they do the most spell work around. I want to manifest the love of my life. I want to manifest money. And I think it really comes down to how much love are you willing to dare? How much do you dare love that person before you are assured your love will be matched and returned and secured and safe? How much love can you stand? And then you can say the same about money. How much money can you stand? Do you think that money and the heart chakra have no business sharing space? Have you been taught that the love of money is evil? Do you believe that the love of money is evil? And if so, do you have a lot of money? I'm guessing not. What if you loved money? What if you invited money into your heart? What if money was connected to the heart center for you? perhaps your money would then become a great source of love in the world and the exact opposite of evil. I just think that's something interesting to think about. I'm completely out of time today. I hope this made sense. I just completely just riffed off the top of my head. It all made sense to me. I'll listen back and see what I said. I will be back here next Tuesday talking at you about the magic of fire and the will. And I hope you join us for the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year, because spring equinox is this week, and we are going to have an awesome group ritual that we're all doing together. And again, check that out, www.psychospiritualwheelofthe.com. Talk at you next Tuesday. In the meantime, much love. Peace.